Jordy Angela.
And it's your main man, B-Dot.
And it's the kid, Gowie.
And this is the checkup. Y'all, how y'all doing today?
Man, you know, I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm chilling. It's warm where I'm at, so I can't play. I can't even complain.
Hey, look, he would try to rub it in. It's snowing where I'm at. We have a winter storm warning right now, so.
Exactly.
I'm down bad.
Oh,
exactly.
Man.
And it's not like the footage of your vacation was it wasn't, you know, you rubbed in enough right there. You know, the whole footage we saw that our followers were attacking us in, and you saying, oh, don't remind them and all that. Yeah, we saw it. We saw it. I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh man, I don't even know what you're talking about.
That was
my burner account. Somebody hacked my shit out, man.
Right.
You
know, yeah,
it's,
right.
It's 2021, man. You can't put nothing past what's going on.
Right,
man.
Yeah. Of course. Right.
Your hair look good, girl. You got the whole Macy Gray Jill Scott going on.
Thank God.
Let's take how long. Girl, you look good.
I'm trying. I was a little something slight. Nails still intact.
Nails look good.
You gotta keep it classy.
Pull the camera up a little bit. You got your cleavage showing, girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The family show, Joy.
Okay, Dot, I know you ain't talking about family from the last time. What you said the last podcast, I know you ain't going there.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, so
yeah, whatever.
We're gonna get into this the checkup. So what's up, Joy? What are we talking about today?
So the first topic is the hot topic right now. Andre Drummond, one of the best, if not the best, rebounding centers in the league, is on the trading block, and we do not know where he's going. He could be going to the Raptors, the Cavs, Miami, or Boston. And I just wanted to let you, I just want to ask y'all, like, how do y'all feel about it, and where do y'all think he should go?
Yeah, I'm right there with Dot. I think Toronto was the best fit for Andre Drummond as of right now. Toronto, they've had a lot of struggles, especially in their front court. Aaron Baines hasn't been the person that they expected him to be. A lot of people are frustrated, especially in that Toronto fan base. So I think adding an Andre Drummond not only adds a little bit of, I'll say solid rim protection. I won't say good because, you know, people may argue that, but you get some solid rim protection, but you also get a guy who knows how to rebound. I mean, Drummond can get you 14 rebounds on any given night or more. So you add him to the team, that gives him second chance points. It gets them defensive rebounds. And he can also get you points inside that paint. So all around, I just think the Toronto Raptors benefit. I feel like they have the help that they need in the backcourt. You have a Pascal Siakam. So you just add Drummond in that mix. And I think that gives them the extra push that they need to really become a contender again in the NBA.
Right. I don't think it'll give them over, like, you know, the hump to win an NBA championship, but in that East, you know, it'll definitely make them more competitive. And right now, you know, they're holding their own. They've been looking really, really well, since their early struggle. So yeah, I like Drummond there. It'd be tough to see it with the Celtics just because, I don't know, that's really a high guard oriented team, but defensive reasons, you know, that would help. And Drummond hasn't always been the person that's been in need to score, but we have seen that he can put the ball in the basket. So yeah. Miami, I mean, I could see him there. That's another dog down there. You feel me? Like, my people are worried about Miami struggles. I'm not, because they flew under the radar all last year, ended up in the finals. So I'm like, it's too early to panic. Just like with the Bucks. Like,
right.
Yeah, the Bucks lost hella. They done lost, you know, a good amount of game the last four games, but they have Giannis. No offense, it is the East. And, you know, I think they'll be just fine. But with Andre Drummond, I like him in Toronto. I like him in Toronto or Miami, but I let's rock with Toronto because they need the most help.
Okay, well, this is what I'm going to say. I think if I could pick a team that would put
– Washington Wizards.
it's either the Wizards or the Heat. It's going to be somewhere in there.
Because we lost Thomas Bryant. We lost Thomas Bryant, so we need a big man.
Sad. It's sad that y'all think I'm this biased. Okay, first of all, what I was going to say was, I think if I could pick a team where Andre Drummond could go on, and if they can contain, like, the depth that they already have while getting him, I think Boston, if he goes there, I think they are an automatic championship contender just because of the fact that he is exactly what they need. Like, they needed more paint presence. They needed more, for example, like Daniel Tice last year, he got tore by Bam Adebayo in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I feel like somebody like Andre Drummond, he not having that. So I feel like because of that, if you put him with Boston, that they already, they get what they needed. And he's already, he could potentially like be cheaper than what you would get him for if you're trying to sign him if it's like a full-blown free agent. So I feel like trading for him right now would be perfect for them. I feel like this could, and I ain't gonna lie to you, like if they get Andre Drummond, it's over for Miami because Bam Adebayo is their best player and he's not, he's gonna get work by Andre Drummond in my opinion. So yeah, I just feel like, you know, Boston is his best option if he wants to win a championship, and I feel like he would literally put them over the hump. And then I could, if I could pick him a team, it would be Miami, of course. But I got to see, you know, how the whole trade would be as well and how it would work. Because I know they're trying to make Bam like a center and all type of stuff. But, yeah, if I could pick a team, it would be Boston for him.
I do like that in terms of defensive reasons, because now you have A1 defender is Marcus Smart right there for your backcourt. Then you have your 3-and-D defender with Jaylen Brown. And then you got Andre Drummond down there in that paint. So defensively, yeah, I like that. That'll be nice defensive wise. That'd be a nice little fit.
I think my only pushback would be, and even though we're talking about defense, I think the pushback would be offense only because you have a Tristan Thompson, you have a Daniel Tice who can stretch the floor to a certain degree. It's kind of like Drummond's not going to really knock down any threes. He can shoot the ball here and there. Like if you give him a 3-point shot out of 10 attempts, he may walk around with, you know, one or two, but you know, they're not relying on him to be a stretch big. So with Drummond being a 7-footer inside that paint, he has size on him. And you also have a Tristan Thompson, or let's say a Daniel Tice in the game. How do you make that work interior wise? Because you then clog up the paint, which kind of just leaves your guards to just shoot the rest of the game. So that would be my only pushback, but like I said, like you guys said, defensive-wise, I do think that would be a good addition. They would just have to figure out their rotation and, you know, try to make it work.
Now, what I will say is that Daniel Tice is averaging 9 points and Andre is averaging 17. So I think that if Kemba does his job and get everybody involved on offense, I think that it won't be a big fall on offense like people think it is, because he knows how to score, he knows how to rebound, he knows how to get assists. So I do feel like just as long as Kemba gets everybody involved the right way, I think he'll be fine. And Colin Sexton has done a great job of getting Andre and everybody involved and Darius Garland as well. So, yeah, but I do see what y'all are saying, though, for sure. And I also want to say that Boston doesn't have a problem scoring. Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. So I feel like defense, if they can get that down pack, they're good to go.
So that 17 might go down to 9.
Right.
Because you gotta understand that's a lot of people shooting that thing. Marcus Smart shooting more. Yeah. Kemba, he's getting back in the flow. We know Jason gonna get him up. We know he's gonna get him up. So we're gonna see where Andre ended up.
Yes, yeah.
What we got next?
So the next thing is the All-Star Game is coming up in March.
ATL, baby.
Yes. So I want to get y'all's first reactions. Like, how do y'all feel about the NBA? You know, we're in a whole pandemic and a lot of players like LeBron and different players like that have voiced their opinions on, you know, they don't feel like this should be even happening right now. What do y'all think about that?
I think with situations like this, the most difficult part is that we always have to keep in mind that it's a business at the end of the day. From the player's perspective, I'm able to empathize with them because I know like there's a, you know, it's a deadly virus going around. You think you're going to get a break, especially having teams that came out of the bubble. And chances are the stars that's going to be in the All-Star game, their teams were contenders. So you have those players coming right into this. They were told that they were going to get about, you know, a short break. You don't get that break now. So I feel for them. It's kind of like you didn't really get to rest this season. And the moment that you thought you were going to get rest, now you got to play in an All-Star game that you don't even want to be in. So with that being said, I understand that. But then at the same time, you got to look at it from the NBA's perspective. These are players that you're paying multi-million dollars to. These are guys that, you know, they generate a lot of money. People want to see LeBron James. People want to see Kevin Durant. People want to see Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry. So the only way you can really generate that money is to use your assets, and your assets are these NBA players. So if you have to make an All-Star game, I personally don't like the idea of it for safety reasons, but like I said, at the end of the day, it's a business, and the NBA need these players in order to thrive and keep the business going. So, hey, like the player said, you got to do what you got to do. They came to play, and they're told to play during All-Star weekend, so I guess that's what's got to happen.
Man, NBA don't give a damn. They want that money. They know they know the exact place where to have it at. They have in Atlanta. Ain't no rules in Atlanta. We've been open when Corona, when COVID was just popping off. You feel me? man, they know exactly what they're doing. They like, we're going to have it in Atlanta. We ain't going to give a damn. We're going to have the Migos there, Yin Yang Twins.
Yin Yang Twins.
Two Chainz. We're going to have Freak Nick 96. We might bring that
back. I did not.
But, man. Listen, man, I feel what the player's saying. Trust me, I feel. But at the end of the day, what the NBA gonna do? They're gonna make them play. They're gonna be like, mm-hmm. Well, you're gonna have to. You don't have no choices in the contract you signed. If you make the All-Star game, you gotta. We didn't put anything in the, you know, in the clause before that if a pandemic happens or during this 70-game season, we can give players options to play or not play. But they know it's a money thing. It sucks they're trying to, you know, condense everything into, you know, one or two nights. That'd be very interesting to see how a dunk contest will, you know, survive during a halftime with no time limit like they used to do it. So that'd be interesting. The three-point contest, I'm excited about that. I know we got some guys like Dame Lillard in there, you know, Trae Young. I know Steph most likely is going to be in there. So that'd be interesting. But in terms of the whole setup, yeah, it sucks for the players, and I feel for them because, like Gowie said, you know, rest from the bubble, and you think you're going to get a big rest in general. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're gonna play. Remember, they were trying to boycott the league, and they was like, yeah, y'all can do that for a couple weeks or a couple days. And right, because there's some replacements they can find, but it ain't gonna be like LeBron James and them like that. But at the end of the day, we know LeBron gonna play. They all gonna do it. They gonna handle their business.
Yeah, it'll be like a Max Struth, how he cooked the Rockets. Our G League guy, our two way guy.
Speaking about the Rockets, I ain't gonna lie, Gowie. And it ain't nothing against Gowie, but boy, that boy Joel Embiid was giving DeMarcus that work.
Hey, look, man. This is the issue.
It looked good. It was like, damn, Joel doing like what?
But that's on a
sore back.
Yeah, he was having back tightness. But the thing with Joel Embiid, like, that's just Joel Embiid. Like, if you see him against even the best of defenders, you're not stopping that man within like 15 feet. Even if he hit you with a turnaround fadeaway jumper, like, you're not stopping that. But I will say, that's my defense for Boogie. But at the end of the day, I do feel like that Boogie Cousins, due to his lower extremity injury history, he's not as athletic. He's not as quick as he used to be. So even in the rebounding department, Boogie's not as great as a rebounder as he used to be because of the injury. So, you know.
And he's still competing, but I only said that because, remember, like, shit, 3-4 years ago, we were trying to figure out who was the best big in the league between Boogie, AD, and Joel. You feel me? So that's why I was like, it's crazy how 2-3 years can just change. Like,
that's a fact.
Yeah, right. It's like, you got to understand, Boogie was the man in sack. I mean, I'm talking about put 40 and 20 type numbers. You feel me? So
not even just sack, but when he went to the Pelicans, Boogie was an MVP candidate, bro. Like, he was having the best season of his life. And then, you know, everything just, you know, stuff just happened, man. Hate to see it.
What is that, an L? What is that?
It's an L because, I mean, at the end of the day, we can talk all we want to about DeMarcus Cousins and blah, 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 blah. But, Gowie, it's just funny to see how the tables have turned, you know, because he wanted to talk about the Wizards and we sucked and everything else. And now,
the tables turned.
And now we're on a winning streak and they're on a losing streak.
Time out. The Houston Rockets are on a 7-game losing streak and still have more wins than the Washington Wizards. Our 7-game losing streak is more wins than what the Wizards have.
Who do y'all have next?
We have 7 straight losses, and the Wizards have what, 6 W's on the season?
Okay, first of all, we haven't even played we haven't even played the equal amount of games. We've had games postponed, so we have to catch up to everybody still. And second of all, Russ was playing on one leg. Okay, so we're not doing that.
So Russ was playing on, ladies and gentlemen, Russ was playing on one leg, right? So if Russell Westbrook was playing on one leg, which is why his shooting efficiency was so bad, what was his excuse for the past games where he just shot 33%?
Well, you know, listen, Russell Westbrook, when you put the team on your back, you know, sometimes things get, you know, a little, you know. Anyway, who cares?
12 points on 33% shooting, y'all. This is Russell Westbrook on two good legs. Remember that.
Mavericks next. Hopefully, okay, listen. I give y'all the Mavericks. I think I can beat the Mavericks because they suck this year. I mean, they're
couple games, they didn't find their swag.
Okay, well, I didn't watch them. I think y'all have potential to beat the Mavericks. And the Pacers, I don't know about that either. But, you know, y'all play Chicago. Y'all can beat them. And Cleveland, maybe, you know. So,
Ladies and gentlemen, let's not avoid the context. The Houston Rockets have been playing without Victor Oladipo, Christian Wood, P.J. Tucker, and Eric Gordon in some of these games.
Cry me a river.
So we're not making excuses. Yes, Thomas Bryant, one person, so four starters.
Elite.
Thomas Bryant, so all right, the Wizards don't have Thomas Bryant. That is one starter, ladies and gentlemen. Russell Westbrook with one leg, but still managed to average a triple-double somehow. And the Houston Rockets and Victor Oladipo, the guy that they traded for, an NBA All-Star, two-way player. Christian Wood, NBA All-Star this season, if he were to be able to stay healthy. P.J. Tucker, everybody know that P.J. Tucker is Iron Man. The man missed his first couple games in his whole career in the past three seasons. Come on, bro. Let's not do this. We know what's up. The Rockets, injuries have been our problem. It's not talent. Jayshon Tate stepping up. Everybody knows what's
going on. He's amazing.
I ain't got to make
excuses.
I ain't got to make excuses, man. Y'all know what's up with the Rockets. Right,
hold on. They say Kyrie and LeBron having a reunion. Who y'all? Oh, Kyrie and LeBron. But Kyrie got Harden. Bron got Caruso. Who y'all got in that matchup now? You feel me? AD out. Only other person I can think on the Lakers is Caruso.
Something's telling me the Lakers are going to win. Yeah, and I know Anthony Davis is out, but something's telling me that the Lakers are going to win because, I like the Andre Roberson pickup. I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make OKC, like create OKC all over again, leave Russ out of it, obviously. It's fine, whatever. Anyways, so what I see they're trying to do, but I know Kevin Durant that y'all lose, plain and simple. I like Kyrie. I like James Harden, but they still have no defense. So I'm picking the Lakers to win that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Lakers on that as well, just because, you know, Harden's going to do what he does. You know, best point guard in the NBA, debate your grandmother. but, yeah, I think that it's just not enough against the Lakers. Even without AD, I think that the Lakers have a lot of depth with Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench. Kyle Kuzma's going to be getting more minutes, so hopefully Kuzma gets into his bag. He has been a little bit more efficient this month. So hopefully with the increase of opportunity, Kuzma can actually showcase the type of player that he is in this league. And yeah, man, I just think there's a lot of depth coming off that Lakers bench. So I can't pick the Nets, bro. The Nets just is strictly offense, bro.
Y'all really about to turn me into the Max Kellerman show. I can't agree. We can't all three agree. Man, I'm going with the goddamn Nets. And the reason why. I gotta say some bullshit now. Man, listen. All right.
Just say Andre Iguodala. Bring him up. Look, I know he ain't on the team, but just bring him up.
Bro, I gotta go. Man, I'm going to Nets. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kyrie coming back versus LeBron. You know, he already said what he said against LeBron. I know LeBron gonna do his thing because, you know, he kind of felt a little way when Kyrie said he finally got somebody they can look at. They can do the same thing and take the same shot and make the same shot he made. So, at the end of the day, man, I like Joe Harris. It's making them guys step up. KD being out. When KD and Kyrie was out the other night, Joe Harris stepped up. Jeff Green stepped up big time. So, man, I'm looking at them boys trying to turn it around. And I think I'm gonna say the final score would be 117, 113, the Nets. I'm going with the Nets. I'm sorry. If LeBron not gonna score 40 for me. You know how LeBron be sometimes. LeBron be on his complacent-ish. Anthony Davis ain't down there to, you know, you can get your rest, throw it down there. Not saying get your rest because he's been playing 43 minutes damn near a night the last past five games. But in terms of, you know, when you don't have to try to get a bucket every time. Now, it's really gonna show who can really get a bucket. Yeah, I like Schroeder. We know Schroeder can get a bucket. I like Trez. We know Trez can get a bucket. But, I mean, we're going to see. We got to see what, you know, like you said, Kuz going to do, Caruso, the mother guy. So, Wesley Matthews, I really ain't heard nothing from him this year. But you never know. He might get it going. But I'm going with the Nets, man. I got to go with Brooklyn, man. Them boys. James is coming off a 40-point game. You know, we had a little private event with him the other night. So he's feeling good. And I know he's feeling good. KD's been a good cheerleader, you know. And Kyrie going for 30 on Schroeder. I mean, Kyrie don't give a damn who in front of him. That's going to be a good matchup because Kyrie don't got to worry about point guard responsibilities no more. Kyrie is now Bradley Beal
mode. That's true.
Kyrie is now in Bradley Beal mode. Who you taking Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving on shooting guard perspective? I mean, even though Bradley's bigger and Bradley's an actual bucket, Bradley going to give you that body. But I'm just saying, if Kyrie's a two now, who you taking between Kyrie and Bradley? We already heard Joy say Brad.
Because he plays defense. He's a better defensively than Bradley Beal is. Bradley Beal is horrendous on defense.
Oh, so you're taking Kyrie?
Yeah. But if it's just straight scoring, I'm taking Bradley Beal all day. He's a freaking bucket. It don't make no freaking sense. It really doesn't.
I ain't even going to lie to you. That's hard,
that's kinda,
man.
That's kind of tough, right?
Yeah, that's hard. I'm not even going to lie. If I had to take somebody, just for the sake of the argument, I'm going to say Bradley Beal. And the reason why I would take Bradley Beal, yes, Kyrie is more polished than him, but the way Bradley Beal scores, like, it just looks so effortless. Like,
it's very effortless.
I've never seen somebody – I mean, I've seen players do it like Kevin Durant, but, like, I've never really seen a guard, like a legit guard that's about under 6'5", to really just go out there and get a bucket at will. Now, Kyrie does it as well, but he's, like –
I think that
what gives Kyrie the advantage in the popular conversation is just how polished and skilled he is. The way his skill set alone just makes it easier for him to get buckets. So, like, that would be my only argument that would make me sway to Kyrie. But, like, Bradley Beal just makes it look so effortless, bro. The way that this man could score consistent 30-point games like it's nothing. And people absolutely have no answer for it. Like, this man's been doing it for what? Going on 3 seasons? Mm-hmm. So, I'd have to get Bradley Beal just because I know that consistency is going to come with him.
I like Bradley. I mean, of course I like Kyrie. But I like Bradley in terms of, I mean, we can talk about efficiency, but we can also talk about the quickness to get a bucket. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Oh, yeah, Bradley, of course.
It's 4 seconds on the clock. Bradley going to come up that damn screen, catch it, boom, 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 maybe do a sidestep. I don't know if Kyrie going to be able to get a legit shot off in 4 seconds without having to dribble, 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 or pull, jab, jab, jab.
Do y'all think do y'all think Bradley's the better closer than Kyrie is?
I feel like
Kyrie Irving is clutcher than Bradley. And I think because we see what he do in the playoffs, and then second of all, just like if you look at Bradley Beal's stats, they've gotten better, you know, the past few games, but he had one of the lowest percentages in the league as far as guards go for fourth quarter points.
Because he's taking them all. Kobe had one of the lowest too.
I know.
Kyrie cool, but
I'm saying as far as attempted goes, like he doesn't attempt because they find a way to lock him down in the fourth quarter. They clamp on him. The same thing happened against Brooklyn the first time they played. Bradley Beal, you know, he couldn't get a shot up. That's when Royce had to go off for 16 points in the fourth quarter. And then at the end of the game, Bradley Beal said, look, I don't know what happened. I was trash. And that's all there is to it. It's a good thing that Russ, you know, was able to come save us. So that's what I mean as far as he's still young. He's not there yet. But I think he has a lot of potential to be. And I think he's a better scorer than Kyrie is all together. But as far as a better closer is, I think Kyrie has been in more situations than Bradley Beal has in the playoffs. He has a championship. He played with LeBron. And I just feel like if I had in the playoffs, if I had to pick who took the last shot and who's going to handle the ball better, I'm going to pick Kyrie Irving.
I mean, duh, because he's been in the playoffs more with LeBron. We got his
–
F that in general shit. We got it, bro. Kyrie, yeah, I love Kyrie. We got to stop giving Kyrie this fucking clutch gene because he hit that one motherfucking shot on Steph Curry that one time. Like, stop playing, man. Let's look. That's cool. I don't know the numbers exactly, but, bro, Kyrie ain't been Russell Westbrook in the clutch. The last three players that's been clutch go ahead attempts. I think Russell Westbrook's number two. I forgot who the hell was number one, but they put it on it was whoever was playing last night. They put it on the screen. Kyrie ain't nowhere near up there. Nothing against him. I'm just saying, like, I've seen Kyrie in the clutch. Like, I don't know. And since in Brooklyn, from Boston to Brooklyn, I ain't seen clutch Kyrie. I've seen Kyrie being able to close a game like, all right, we up by seven. Let me get an extra buckets to spread it out. But I ain't seen no go-ahead bucket. Last time I seen a go-ahead attempt was when he tripped against Ja Morant type shit and fell and missed it. But in terms of your guard that's that can really score effortlessly under 6 feet and then doesn't make it look like hard, I can say CJ McCollum, Gallo. Yeah. Probably the other
That's
one.
Another one, yeah.
That makes it look effortlessly. But going back to the clutch, I understand Kyrie been in way more moments and just because he's been on way better teams and been in situations, but I don't know. I like Bradley. I like Bradley. Just like how I was saying, I like Book. And Book just got his clutch gene, you know, these past year and a half bubble-wise. So I think it's going to come. I think those moments will come for Bradley, but I like Bradley in general.
I agree. So – oh, whose defense do y'all think is better, Bradley Beal's or Kyrie's?
Who?
Whose defense is better, Kyrie's or Bradley Beal's?
Honestly, I mean, I see Kyrie give effort just because he, you know, you can score. I'm just saying you can score as a guard. You know how we is. When we score a bucket, we'll play the little fake full court defense, or we'll score. But our offense really run our defense sometimes when you're offense oriented. I'm going to be honest, I've never seen neither one. I haven't paid attention, put it like that, to see how active they were on defense. Only reason why I know, like, the Steph Curry's because, you know, let's exploit Steph Curry. And then we see how he's being able to step up the James Harden's. They've put, you know, stuff on his defense where we had to watch and be like, nah, he done got better. But with Kyrie and Bradley, I haven't watched him. Probably now I'll look, but I don't know.
Me personally, I just think it's an irrelevant conversation just because, like, both of them have – you know, they're on two of the worst defensive teams in the league. So it's kind of like we debating absolutely nothing. Like, both of them niggas can't play defense, and that's just just what it is. But
we debating, you know, tomatoes.
So what about this? We saw Bradley Beal. We saw him with the Wizards. We seen him with the Wizards now. We saw what he was without Russ and with Russ and their record and everything else. We saw Kyrie Irving before Brooklyn. Him in Boston and in the Cavs after Brian left. Who do y'all think impacts winning more? Him or Bradley Beal?
Same exact conversation.
I don't think that's true though.
Kyrie went to Boston. Yeah.
But imagine if Bradley Beal had a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown around him.
No. Understand that we understand that you said imagine, but the question is a literal question in terms of what we can go off facts. You said who impacts winning more. You didn't say who could impact winning if they had the same players, you know, vice versa.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's.
But
what
I wouldn't know because we have to see Bradley Beal in that situation to be able to push. Now if he was able to, you know, get this Wizard team, you know, over the hump, or if he was able to, you know, win some games with them, then we could be like, oh, damn, Bradley really do impact winning. But we don't know because Kyrie couldn't do it with the Celtics. Bradley's not doing it with the Wizards right now. And we can't really say Kyrie's doing it with the Nets. I mean, shit, he got.
Yeah, I mean, all we got to do is just look at Kyrie's track record. So we can look at Bradley Beal and say, you know, he doesn't really impact winning, which is true in my personal opinion, because once John Wall once again had his injury history, Bradley Beal hasn't been able to accomplish anything with the Wizards. And it's similar to Kyrie when he was in Cleveland. Kyrie went to Cleveland. I think he had 215 losses before LeBron came. LeBron came, they automatically became championship contenders. So it's like some guys just are secondary guys. And I think Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving are both secondary guys. I don't think they can be the franchise player, but I think they're guys who have franchise player potential, but they're just really certified buckets. So you put them alongside somebody who actually has that leadership gene and can do something and make something happen. So, you know, once again, Kyrie Irving went to Boston. Yeah, the Celtics made the playoffs and stuff like that, but they were worse than the year that they played with Terry Rozier. Then the Celtics got rid of him. Then it's like, you know, if you really impact winning, you're not going to be moved around like that. Like, he's been moved around enough in these past couple seasons, and I genuinely don't believe those were by choice. The Cleveland win by choice because he didn't want to play under LeBron. The Celtics, that wasn't by choice. That was a mutual split. And Brooklyn, you know, he wanted to find a new home or whatever the case may be. So he came here. I don't think he'll get traded from Brooklyn. Yeah. But if the defense get drastic enough to where they know damn well they can't win and they got to trade somebody of value to get somebody of value, I promise you that Kyrie will be the first to go between James Harden and Kevin Durant.
For sure. Speaking on moving around and LeBron, Blake Griffin to the Lakers. How do you feel? What's going on with Blake Griffin? How y'all feel about Big Blake? They said he ain't had a dunk in a year and a half. It just his average shot attempt distance is like longer than than a Kawhi Leonard and another wing guard. He's averaging 17 feet or more for every shot attempt. He just seems like unenthused. I don't know if it's the injuries or he did go from LA to Detroit, but I mean, at the end of the day, we done seen players get moved to different situations but still be able to, you know, do their thing. Blake just don't look like Blake. How y'all feel? Where y'all think he will end up, and where do you guys think is a good fit for him? And is he a starter or he's just a solid-ass role player?
I'll let you go, Joe.
Yeah. No, go ahead and go ahead.
All right. Well, with Blake Griffin, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's the unenthusiasm of playing with a team that consistently loses, always at the end of the standings. So there's nothing really giving Blake Griffin a reason to really give his all. We've seen him do it. He was an all-star. And once those injuries started picking up, I guess I kind of view it as one of those things where we see it when it comes to injury-prone players. So we see a Tracy McGrady or we see a Penny Hardaway and a Grant Hill. We see it with these guys who are high-caliber players, but when you have to put an entire team on your back, you start to wear down. And I think that's the stage that Blake Griffin is in right now. I do think that he would kick it up a notch if he were traded to a team. But as far as his role on the team, I just view him as a solid role player. As somebody that I can compare him to is a Gordon Hayward in Boston. I don't think that Blake Griffin will step in and be a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown, but he would be a Gordon Hayward in that system. So you would have to make him your third option and pair him with two stars in order to make something happen. Now, as far as a team to actually pick for Blake, that's where it gets tricky because you're talking about contracts and stuff like that. Unless he gets bought out. Now, if he gets bought out, there's a lot of teams that can take a risk on him. You can look at Indiana Pacers. You can look at who else? I would probably, you know, flirt with the idea of him going there. Even somebody like the Pelicans, like there's certain systems that you could plug Blake in to do a specific thing. Even from a leadership aspect that could possibly work. But I don't really see him with as much value as people may expect him to have, like the NBA All-Star value. He can lead your team to the playoffs or whatever. So, yeah, I think as of right now, Blake is just a role player, solid role player.
Joy?
Me personally, I think the best fit for Blake Griffin is like the Big Three or the Santa Cruz Warriors. I think I like those for him.
He just had 30, like, a couple sad. Nights ago. Like,
he can't stay healthy. Damn, Joy. He can't stay healthy. Just go ahead and put him with the rest of the NBA grandpas and just let him be happy there. He can fit in there. He won't get criticized for his injuries.
He's 33.
He plays like a grandpa because he always breaking his back and his bones. So, therefore, go let him play with Steven Jackson and the freaking Big Three and let him go be happy there.
So, you feel the same way about Derrick Rose, too, then?
No, I like
keep that same energy.
I don't want to hear nothing about not Derrick Rose. He fought. He's respect. He's right. The heart of Chicago.
I didn't
keep it real.
No. I want to see where he just go. Derrick Rose.
New York.
Okay, so give it a few weeks, and if he get injured, I'm telling you, G League Big Three, pick one because all I'm right, not so, doing this. There's a reason why these freaking teams continue to be trash. I mean, one is because it's a small market, and two, because they can't stay freaking healthy for crap. It's the same problem with the freaking Wizards, same problem with the Pistons and the Cavs. They just been trashing LeBron left. But Colin says he don't get them there eventually. But
you know, being healthy is not a choice, well, injury-wise, you feel me?
Well, that's why I said, well, he can go choose whatever the heck he want to go choose and with the Santa Cruz Warriors.
But speaking of the Wizards, are we going to keep the same we going to keep the same energy with the it's his quad. His quad was injured.
No, that's why he's playing so bad.
In the NBA bubble, he had COVID. It was his quad then. It was his other quad at that moment. So
that's different.
If we talking about health, you know, if Westbrook keep getting these injuries and having to sit out games because he's just now becoming consistent with his games. He's playing back to backs now. So if it happened the way they're benching him.
This show is about to be called The Checkup, parentheses, Westbrook versus Gowie and Joy. Like, bro, it's just like, we got to have a 20-minute segment every time. Like, you guys always set 20 minutes aside.
No, because
we could be talking about, man, I like Chick-fil-A way better than Popeye's. Well, Russell Westbrook actually, he likes Canes better, and then we're gonna chime, bro. I love it.
Speaking of Canes,
Russell Westbrook ain't even had a bad season yet. This is his first bad season. Let's talk about that. Blake Griffin, this is not his first bad season. This is Russ's first bad season, and people out here acting like this man has been playing terrible forever. This is one bad season.
For real life preferences, Joy, if what team outside of the D League or the Tropics, the Tropic Thunder with
the Santa Cruz Warriors.
What other team and what NBA team would you see decently healthy Blake Griffin on?
I like the Warriors.
But who are you gonna trade? Who are you gonna get rid of him? Who are you gonna get rid of for?
A hard question.
Right. Are you gonna give away what's our guy named Pascal? Are you gonna give away
Eric Pascal?
He's a bucket. He's low key their third option.
What do y'all think about because I'm looking at because me personally, I want to put him somewhere where he's gonna fit and he can actually function there. So like, what do y'all think he's actually gonna fit in and function at?
Miami, send him to Miami.
Heck no, we don't want that freaking bum.
How you feel about the Trailblazers, Gowie?
Huh?
How you feel about the Trailblazers? You know, with Nurkic being out.
Put him with the rest of the people that can't stay healthy. Go ahead.
She called that one out.
Put them all together. McCollum,
they already have injury problems. And then on top of that, you got to kind of find a space for Melo and Blake Griffin because, you know, Melo, we ain't taking Melo minutes.
They can be the NBA.
Especially because now Melo split minutes with Gary Trent.
Yeah. Man,
Gary been playing.
He's crazy. Amazing. Oh, my gosh. He's amazing. Love him.
Okay, let's go. Let's check up real quick.
Let's go. We'll be talking about.
Let's talk about who's your midseason. I don't want to say midseason. I don't even think it's midseason yet. But who's your a third or a fourth away season MVP so far?
I'm going first.
Damn. Well, hype bad.
Well, goodness. Because you're not taking mine. You're not taking my pick. That's why you're going to go first.
Hey,
I'm picking LeBron Ramon.
I didn't goddamn put the shot clock on. Remember, everybody get y'all get a rebuttal. 25 seconds. Okay? But you only get a 12-second rebuttal because you know on the offensive rebound the shot clock reset to 12 seconds.
That's true.
I be high when I be thinking of stuff like this. All right, Joy, go.
I'm picking LeBron Ramon James because LeBron Ramon James, for one, he's already been robbed of MVP so many times. So we might as well just go ahead and give it to him to make up for the last time he didn't get it. And secondly, look at the Lakers. I mean, I get, you know, they have different, you know, struggles against the Pistons and the Bulls. But look at how well he's doing without AD. He impacts winning. And it's pretty clear. He's the best player in the league still. So give it to him.
Oh, I like you, right?
See, it don't even matter who went first because LeBron's not my pick with all due respect to the king.
I got it.
Young Gowerson, check up.
My pick for league MVP as of right now is that guy in Philly named Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is the most – he's dominating right now, not only on the offensive end but on the defensive end right now, averaging one block a game, averaging 30 points a game, about 11 rebounds, 4 assists. And the 76ers are the number one team in the Eastern Conference over the Nets and over the Bucks. They are over-exceeding what people had set for them as far as expectations go.
I like, okay, so now I'm about to give you a chance to rebuttal, but before, damn, how y'all feel about that light skin killer up in the Bay and that Oakland representative up in Portland. They've been putting up some crazy numbers. Are they 3-4 or?
Oh yeah.
Okay, all right. So these are your top.
You talking about Steph and Dame?
Steph and Dame. They've been putting up some crazy.
He's talking about Damian Lee and Gary Trent. Come on.
First of all, you cluck. I didn't hear the first part of the question. All I heard was Oakland, so thank you very much.
Come on now.
Okay, Joy, you got 12 setups for your rebuttal.
Okay.
Check up.
So, first of all, at the end of the day, the Lakers are number two. And the thing is, MVP is all about staying healthy. And who has been healthy all season long? LeBron James, not Joel Embiid. Thank you very much. It's being there for your team. He has not been.
Womp, 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 womp.
Hey, Gally. Hey, check up. Let's get it.
Hey, look, so here's my whole point with the LeBron James thing. LeBron James, exceptional. Everybody knows that LeBron could be MVP every year, but this year it's Joel Embiid. Once again, the 76ers are number one in the Eastern Conference over two teams that were expected to be better than them. Come on now. It's simple.
Honestly, I like – those are two great choices. Both of them, shit, they both debatable. We are seeing Joel Embiid have one of the best seasons he's had since he's been in the NBA. But we all also watching LeBron carry a Lakers. And when I say carry a Lakers team, I mean in terms of, you know, Anthony Davis is not putting up the same numbers as mm-hmm. he is before. But also, they didn't have Trez and Schroeder, who's also.
Boom.
For the last 5 minutes, we're going to close it out with, do we believe in the Utah Jazz? This is a team that has at least 7 or 8 players that's averaging 11 or more points.
Mm-hmm.
They're also number one in 3-point efficiency. And, they look like the old school Spurs. I mean, the way they're moving the ball, man, they're making like 8 passes. Nobody in the NBA, especially this day and age, is trying to play for that many passes. You feel me?
No.
So is this system going to actually lead them to – you know, I don't want to say a championship, but to the NBA Finals.
In my personal opinion, I feel like the Jazz are in good shape. I do feel like they're making a great statement. But when it comes to winning championship basketball, will they win the NBA Finals type of belief? I don't think it'll get that far. I do think that the Jazz do have the potential to get deep into the playoffs if they maintain this system. But there are teams like the Los Angeles Lakers who know how to adjust. That's one thing that I really noticed last year during the NBA playoffs. People would say the Lakers had easy matchups, but it wasn't the fact that they had easy matchups. They adjusted to their competition. When it came to the Houston Rockets, just to speak specifically, they knew that Russell Westbrook was the weak point. It's not a jab. I'm just being honest. They said Russell Westbrook was the weak point. So what they would do is clog the paint. So Russ becomes eliminated from, you know, the game plan. So when you do stuff like that, the Lakers are just smart. They stay on their toes and they know how to adjust to who's ahead of them. So if they ran into a Los Angeles Lakers, I think it stops there. But as far as the Jazz, I mean, you have the potential sixth man of the year with Jordan Clarkson going crazy. Donovan Mitchell, he's playing out of his mind. Rudy Gobert, he's finally, you don't really expect much from a scoring aspect on Rudy Gobert now that you have this system where you have so many scorers. So he kind of blends in now. So with that being said, it's they look dangerous, but it's all a matter of can they maintain it and hopefully they can stay healthy, because if health does become an issue, that can just bring down the whole squad. So that's not homework.
And we got to give some love to, my boy Royce. My boy Royce, he out there on the perimeter, a 3-and-D mm-hmm. player. And I know, Gary, I know you shouted out all the black guys, but come on, man. This is an inspirational show, all right? We got to show love to Joe Ingles, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, love to all the African-Americans. Come on, man.
Go.
Australian lives matters too. You feel me?
Ingles fans are different, though. His fans are different. It's mad weird and it's mad random, but they're different.
So how you feeling about them, Joy? They believers? Are you a believer or?
I'm a believer.
Are they deceivers?
No, they're not deceivers. They're not frauds, unlike other teams. Anyways, so, and by the way, Gally, Wes is really living your head rent-free. I think you should get that checked out.
Girl.
Anyways, back to what I was saying.
How much are you paying to live in your head then, Joy?
Oh, okay. He doesn't live in my head. I don't know. Anyways. I feel like the Jazz can surprise people this year, just depending on, you know, because they do look really, really well right now. They're the top of the West right now as well, top of the conference. So when things like that happen, you can have more favorable matchups. So you may not be a first or a second round exit if they can keep that spot. Now, my thing is that with Anthony Davis, you know, he's having, you know, calf injuries, Achilles problems, and things like that. I think it's possible for them to beat the Lakers if he happens to not be healthy at that point, then I think that could open up a window for them to beat the Lakers. But if they're healthy, I don't see it happening. But I do think they can at least get further than what they did last year. I do think that.
Coming down to it, do you believe in a Kawhi Leonard and Paul George led team over Donovan Mitchell and you know, supporting cast led team to beat the Lakers? So when it's all said and done, when they're, let's say you got the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Clippers in the semifinals in order to play the Lakers in the conference, mm-hmm. in the conference finals, who are you taking? Who are you believing in more?
Oh, I freaking hate that I'm about to say this because I swear I'd never freaking speak positive on them again. But because of the way each team is set up, because of Kawhi's experience, because of Paul George's experience, because of their defense, and because of their coaching, I think Ty Lue's been doing a good job with them. I think that they would have a better chance of being
with the Clippers. What about you, Gabby? Who you going with?
Come on now. Ring James. Come on now. What's we talking about?
No. Look at you. Not even answering that. You're not even listening to the question. He said the Jazz or the Clippers. Who would you choose more to beat the Lakers? That was his question.
I get it. But it's Ring James. I can't give an answer because it's Ring James either way, bro. Oh, like,
at the end of the day, it don't matter who coming out.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is we talking about, really?
Wait, you act like he's Russell Westbrook. Okay, right. No, I cancel it because I'm not, no, my father's not about to attack me. No, I'm good.
Look, yo, what grinded your gear this month, this past week?
Well, I'm going to go first. Danny Green blocked grinded my gears.
He asked you.
Okay, just shut up. Danny Green grinded my gears. He blocked me on Instagram all because my reel got a whole bunch of views. This is what happened, okay? So, first of all, I made a reel a few weeks ago, and it ended up getting like 300K plus views on as a reel. So, okay, got it. All I said was, they played the freaking Lakers, and all I said was, this man looked like O2, he was giving y'all O2 Shaq bricks all playoff last year, and now he looked like 2016 Stephen Curry because he was like freaking 60% from three. So I was giving him a backhanded compliment. He gonna freaking block me on Instagram because people kept tagging him. So I said, he is so soft. It's it's not cute. It's really,
hey, shout out to everybody that's blocked by Danny Green. I'm blocked too.
Oh, for real. Danny, yeah. Follow me. I done had him on my show and all that.
Yeah, I got blocked. But Joey gave him a backhanded compliment, and I just.
Bro, no, y'all speak the real. Yeah,
y'all. Yeah, I just called a spade, and that's what
exactly.
happened.
Exactly. He's so freaking charming, soft.
What grinded your gear, Toboggan Gowie?
Look, man, you know what grinds my gears is when a player plays for a specific team, and everybody has negative things to say about him. And then he goes and get a new look, and all of a sudden people act like he the most outstanding person to ever pick up a basketball. And I'm speaking about James Harden. Bro.
Love it, I knew.
Everything that you're seeing in Brooklyn right now is exactly what James Harden was doing in Houston. But in Houston, it's James Harden don't play defense. He's a ball hog. He just dribbles. He doesn't pass the ball, this, that, and the third. And it took him going to Brooklyn and seeing what y'all see now for people to be like, oh, and James Harden's, he's an underrated playmaker. He scores at will and he's clutch. And it's like, bro, he's been this. He's been, bro.
Harden, same role.
All of this stuff.
Same role this last season.
All the same stuff, bro. We disregard the lame stuff. But yeah, same exact guy. And I just don't like how the narrative changed because he's playing with stars. I think, like, with the NBA, it comes to when people see these guys in one setting, they don't really appreciate it until it's alongside other people. Same thing with Kevin Durant. We all knew Kevin Durant was a dog. He won MVP, straight dog. But once he went to Golden State, oh, Kevin Durant's better than LeBron. It's like, bro, like, pipe down.
Well,
like,
that's after he won a championship, though.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's a championship alongside one of the best cores ever put together. It's like, yes, those guys bring out, you know, it makes him stand out a little bit more. But to make it seem like this is something new because you placed him around these pieces. Come on, bro. He's been doing that. That's been in his bag. So that's what grinds my gears. Watch basketball, people. Watch the games. Don't just go by the narratives.
Nah, that right. James is feeling real good and confident. I ain't out with him another night. I was like, James, take a shot. He said, I ain't taking no other shot, nigga. I had 40 tonight. I love it. Wow. That was against a comeback victory from down 20 against a Chris Paul and D-Book led son. So yeah.
And who hit that game winner? Come on, bro.
Well, it was Vincent White. I will say, all jokes aside, because I know I talked about his roles earlier. But all jokes aside, he's an amazing player, and I do feel like if they were to make it to the finals, I think he would. I think I could see him getting finals MVP and shutting all the criticism down. I do see that.
It's happening.
Okay, just calm down.
It's happening.
He's still playing with Kevin Durant. Okay, one of the best scorers ever of all time. But just pipe down a little bit. I kind of like it.
King James. LeBron is ring James. James Harden is King James. Go ahead, Dot. What grinded your gears this week?
I see what he did with there. Well, what grinded my gear is, listen here, Missy. If I'm gonna send you, hey, I hope you have an amazing, great day. You be productive. I hope energy around you is all good. You better reply with. Matter of fact, at the end of the day, it ain't about you replying. I don't need to see you on Instagram playing Top Golf, having drinks with your girls. You taking pictures of your nails and shit. And 6 hours later, you still ain't replied to my text. Oh, you got me effed up. And then when I reply, okay, good talk. Never mind. You want to hit me back 5 minutes? I'm sorry, I've been busy and active. Active on your goddamn phone. You can't slow down and go to the. I don't send no good morning. You have a great day. Productive text.
Yeah, first, you don't seem right? Like the. Oh, never mind.
I'm a romantic ass nigga. You seen what the fuck I did.
Right.
Don't play me.
Right.
I'm romantic about mine.
Niggas, man.
Okay, I have a question. Okay,
wait. I love love. All right, don't play me like a.
Okay, so Dot, how was your Valentine's Day?
It was amazing. I spent it with my son.
Aww.
And I DJ'd. They let the wrong single person DJ on Single Awareness Day.
So you were really passionate that night.
Oh yeah, it was Single Awareness Day. You know, shout out to all the single people. You know, let people know that it's all right to be single. You know, love is cool, but shit, fuck them happy people. Yeah. And that's gonna wrap up today's show of the checkup. It's your boy B Dot with the charms in his hair, wearing the lovely
Jordy Angela,
and my main man.
It's only entertainment. The Kid Gowrie, man. Y'all already know what's up.
Ears really hurt.
And we out like my dad.